email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
5 on 5, 5 on Ray at RTE.ie. Only Fools and Horses, the musical, is coming to the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre in Dublin after a record-breaking four-year sold-out run in London's West End. All your favourite characters will be there, Del Boy, Rodney, and of course, Grandad. And Grandad is played by the British comedy institution, Paul Whitehouse. Good afternoon, Paul Whitehouse.
Hello there. How you doing, man?
You see,
comedy institution. At this point, I'll have to, you know, sort of claim my Celtic roots and say Welsh. So, you know, and a bit of Irish as well, my dad's family, like we all do, you know, when we come to Ireland, we all say, some Irish in my family as well. So there you go.
So where was your dad's family from in Ireland?
From Sligo, way over west, way out west.
Yeah.
In fact, we used to go there on holiday, you know, there in Wales when we were kids. We never saw the sun for 28 years till I went to Greece.
So listen, you're more than acting in this because you're responsible for getting it to the stage.
Well, I mean, to an extent, Ray, it's a very collaborative process, yeah. But it was John Sullivan's last project to do a musical version of Only Fools and Horses. And you'd think, oh dear, really? But because it was John Sullivan's, the original creator and writer, you know, it was his wish. And very sadly, he died, you know, before he'd really had any chance to do much with it. I think he'd written one song with Chaz Hodges, Chaz and Dave, and his son took up the kind of cudgel and asked me would I be involved. And at first I was a bit wary, you know, because he's such an institution. And, you know, I didn't want to be the one that mucked it up and destroyed people's treasured memories of this, you know, as you put it.
Like British institution.
Yeah, I know. So it was very slow process. And we gradually did some little workshops and wrote a couple of songs, and other people, you know, made my sort of rather stumbling chord changes a bit slicker, and gradually piece it together. And then we thought, yeah, well, I think this could work, you know. And Jim Sullivan, who was John's son, is a very accomplished writer in his own right. And he obviously knows the show inside out. And it was very important for me to have the kind of backing of the family. You know, I didn't want to do it if there was going to be any battles there at all, or they weren't happy with how it was proceeding. So Jim was crucial, really. And then, you know, there was a bit of trepidation when we started, you know, because I know people come to it and go, all right, go on then. Go on then, Whitehouse. See if you're
make
any
us laugh,
good, really. Yeah. But we knew, we were confident, we were very, you know, we stuck very faithfully to the kind of ethos of Only Fools. And we, you know, we try and get all the top gags in, or at least we reference them. We've got all the main characters, and we've got some good songs actually. You know? And weirdly, there's so many gags in it, and there's so many strong characters. It's actually quite nice to have a little break every few minutes and have a song. You know?
Yeah. And Paul, is music your first love? Is that the lyrics from a song?
Yeah,
music was my
it
first
is, really,
love.
It is really, right? Yes. Yeah. Oh, no, it was, wasn't it? Who was that?
Music was my first love.
Oh God, John. Oh, blimey, I forgot his name.
Yeah.
Music was my first love. I know it didn't sound like it when I burst into song there, but
were you in a band as a kid or what?
Oh yeah, I was in some terrible bands. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One or two reasonable ones, but mainly bad, yeah. I actually auditioned for a band.
Called
that petrol emotion.
Oh yes, brilliant band.
They were sort of
Irish.
They were kind of the what was left of the Undertones after Fergal left.
Yeah,
and they reformed and went on to be great with a really good singer instead of me.
And they had a hit. I used to play. I can't remember the name of it now, but. They'd one hit, as in it got into the UK top 20 or whatever. And did you auditioned to be the lead singer? Did you?
Yeah, but I mean, my head wasn't in the right space at the time.
So then how did you meet up with Harry Enfield? And, so did he encourage you to write and to perform, or what happened?
Yeah, he did write, really. We were friends, we had sort of mutual friends. And I was going to say they were Irish, so they were, but I don't. So they just
no, that's
so
fine.
Cool-y,
it's fine. No,
it
doesn't.
Right?
No, if you say to me, I love you, Irish. I love your Guinness. Then that's corny. Factual stuff isn't corny, Paul. You can do with
okay,
the factual
yeah,
stuff.
No, okay. No, is it okay to say I don't like Guinness?
Yeah,
no, see, now you've just opened a pitfall really for me, haven't you? And I jumped right in it. Harry was a friend of a friend, and so we sort of gradually came together. And I used to just sort of muck about in the pub and whatever, and Harry sort of persuaded me, coerced me into doing some writing and performing. And we're, he had a great platform, Harry, for those early characters of like Stavros and Loads of Money, because we had a program over here, Friday Night Live, Saturday Night Live, and it was, there were only four channels. And so when Harry came on and did those characters, they sort of landed immediately. And that was it was a mix of comedy and music, that show, hosted by Ben Elton.
Yeah.
And it sort of established Harry almost, I say overnight. He'd been gigging for years, but that was his sort of first major TV comedy platform. And it was a perfect vehicle for those characters, and that's where we then were able to sort of write a couple of sketch show series for Harry, and then the Fast Show, and it developed from there, really. So
was it great crack, or was it relentless? Having to produce that stuff.
Well, it's like anything like that, any sort of creative thing. Yes, it's great. I mean, you can't, it's such a privilege and a joy to do it.
Yeah.
But like any of those, there are always tensions and there are always differences of opinion. And so, it's the, and you have to, you live it and breathe it 100%. So, it's like in anything, and there are good bits and bad bits. But most of the time it's, very lucky. It's a joy. And same with this, it's, these aren't characters that I've come up with, obviously, but they're a privilege to do. And so, I get to do Grandad, and I get to do a little cameo as Uncle Albert at the end of the show. And I mean, mainly my beard does and all the acting. I just wiggle that beard around and I milk it for all it's worth. But it gets a better response than me doing the voice.
But a 4-year sold-out run in London's West End, and everyone leaves smiling and laughing. And what a lovely thing to do, to be involved in.
Honestly, right? I know it sounds like a cliche, but it really is. And doing the tour, in a way, is even more sort of joyous, because our audience is mainly working class audience. West End prices are silly. You have to get there, you stay over, you eat. It's astronomical. So in a funny way, taking it round, to all the cities and to the theatres outside of the West End and beyond, it's been an absolute joy, and the audiences are great. We all have a bond, of Only Fools and Horses. We know we're borrowing it,
Yeah, I know, but everybody wins. Everybody wins.
And everybody wins.
Yeah. Listen, I love...
Especially the producers.
I love you and Bob Gone Fishing. It's just so calming. It's just like, when you think about it, the Far Show, and then... Not so fast, actually. Very slow show.
Well, it's very age appropriate. We did all the frantic stuff early on. Now we're just going to take it easy. But no, it's a surprise how much people, not so much that people like it, but what it kind of means a lot to people. It's interesting. Our people, me and Bob have we've had quite a bit of success over the years, but it's very different, the Gone Fishing response. People have quite touched by it. You know, we're just a couple of old idiots, really. On the
yeah, but funny idiots.
Yeah. They're the best kind, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're gonna say, but and you are your mates. That's the obvious thing. And obviously, you were mates before you went.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, Ray. Listen, I did some filming with him last week. Some of the tricks he got up to, nicking my stuff, was shocking. I'm going to expose him one day.
I read his book, his memoir there, and the opening chapter is about him and his heart condition. And you have a heart condition as well, so you obviously that's something you have in common.
Yeah. Well, that's what inspired the Gone Fishing. Yeah. Because I started taking Bob fishing as part of a sort of rehab from his heart disease. Yeah. I got in touch with him because I knew he was going to have stents, but at the last, and I'd had mine.
Ah.
And it wasn't a difficult procedure for me, but when they got him in, they found that he was too far gone, really, for stents, and he had to have an emergency triple bypass, which is quite shocking.
Yes.
Not just a revelation, it's a proper serious operation, as we know, you know.
And then the psychological aftermath of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, I watched my dad have exactly the same operation, you know, years ago, and it kept him alive, but those first, you know, a few months, because, you know, it's your heart, isn't it? You know, heart disease is still far and away the biggest killer.
Yeah, but the heart's very fixable. That's, you know.
Well, it is, you know, and it's very careable as well. I mean, I was doing some exercise this morning and I do, you know, I've got my stents, I have to take my meds, but crucially, I try and do some exercise and keep active, actually, which is, of course, you were always told not to do that in the past, and now I think
it's encouraged.
Maybe they'll change their mind again. Yeah. In a couple of years.
Do you know our comedian, very good comedian, Jason Byrne?
Yes, of course.
He has five. I think it's the last count, five stents.
All right, I've got five BAFTAs.
Oh, do you have five BAFTAs? But the big thing was for him to go back running. Yeah. He's talked to us about it, you know, so I'm not.
Oh, right.
So because psychologically you think, oh, God, my heart is weak and I don't want to exert it, where the opposite is, that's what you're saying, exactly.
Yeah. But what you have to, I just put a little caveat on that. Right. So I don't want Jason to go doing 100 metres.
I know.
No, but what is very crucial and what a lot of people really need to take on board is you have to warm up very slowly.
Ah.
And then that helps you. The oxygen to get to your blood, it helps your arteries dilate. And so it's always important to warm up slowly and to cool down.
Yeah.
So before, don't go hammering in, you know.
Yeah. No, your concern for Jason is a beautiful thing, but he's sought professional help. I know that, so that's all good.
Yeah, and he doesn't care about me, does he?
Well, I don't know. We've never discussed you. But listen, can I talk to you about your wife? Because you live apart. You've been together for 20 years and you got married, a number of years ago?
Yeah,
4 or 5
I wouldn't
years.
Say 20. It's not quite 20 years, but not far as... Feels like it.
but you have separate houses?
Although she's having some work done on it at the moment, so she's living with me.
Ah,
so
there right. we go. I mean, was that
I'm
something?
On tour.
I'm interested. Was it something you sat down and talked about, or did it just sort of happen organically?
I think it sort of happened organically, but I think we both appreciate it. You know, I'm only around the corner. I mean, I'm there every day, so it's not a. I am literally around the corner.
Right.
And I think we both. I mean, it's quite interesting. A lot of married people go, "What, you live in separate houses? You can see the gleam in their eye." Oh, if only. So I'm imagining that you have a similar gleam in your eye.
No, I don't. I actually don't. No, I it wouldn't suit me. You'd have to talk to my wife. It might suit her, but it wouldn't suit me.
Fair play. It works for us. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Listen, I see you're cast in the TV adaptation of Harry Potter.
Yep.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it is. Went for a costume and a makeup.
Did you?
Sort of fitting the other day and so the ball's rolling. It's, it's quite funny for me because I actually was in one of the films.
Yes, as a portrait.
Yeah, well, no, they cut me out.
Oh, did they?
And stuck me in a portrait.
Oh, right.
And
right.
I would have said, it's...
So tell us that story then. So you were actually cast...
Well,
go on.
Well, I did. I went for the interview and the director said, we'd love you to be Sir Cadogan. Would you come and do it? And I said, I sort of bargained, really. It's not like me. I said, yeah, I'd love to do it as long as I can bring... At the time, I had three daughters. I said, can I bring my girls to the set, you know? Yeah. And of course, you know, he said, yeah, of course. And so I did that. And, you know, they told all their friends, oh, my dad's going to be in Harry Potter. And then I had to break the news that they cut me out and just stuck me in a portrait. And the reaction was pretty good because my eldest daughter just laughed.
Yeah.
Thank you. My then second daughter was really angry because she told all her friends and now she was going to have to backtrack. And my youngest at the time went, how dare they? Daddy's a very good actress.
Actress.
And I am a pretty good actress, actually.
So now you're back for revenge. Argus Filch. Yeah.
Yeah, well, they might cut me out again, might they?
You'll have to get it written into your contract, Paul.
Yeah, you cannot cut me. Yeah. not again, no.
Yeah. So you sound like you're in great form. So Paul Whitehouse is coming to the Bord Gáis June 30th to July 5th in Only Fools and Horses, the musical. He plays Grandad. And he has Uncle Albert as well. So they're getting value for money out of him. So Gone Fishing is on. Is it season 6 or season 7?
I don't know.
No.
Mate.
Yeah. Right.
They all merge into one. It's me and Bob on a river, isn't it, with Ted the dog?
Yeah.
And we talk about life, death, and we have a laugh. Yeah.
Here's the thing. We interviewed Leo Sayre. I know, Leo Sayre yesterday, yeah. And he celebrated his birthday last week and you celebrated your birthday recently as well.
Yeah,
he's exactly 10 years older than you, just so you know.
Is he?
Yeah.
So he's about 56, yeah?
That's it, 56. Yeah.
Well, it was funny. Bob and I were filming last week for Gone Fishing and it was my birthday and Bob's birthday.
Ah, right.
Yeah. And a great present for me was, of course, Spurs winning the Europa League.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
That was a big event. What was it, the first in what? How many years? First silverware.
Well, 2008.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was at the UEFA League victory in 1984. I was 26.
Right, there you're giving away your age now.
I know. Do the maths.
Listen, Paul Whitehouse, lovely talking to you.
Great talking to you,
good luck with the rest of the tour. Thank you.
Look forward to Dublin.
Yeah,
all right.
See you now. Bye.